Y'all know what time it is. Y'all don't know, y'all better ask somebody.
Hat on, hat on, suit on, suit on, looking like the Dapper Don, giving a microphone, dress like a million bucks, bucks, things in its cuffs. Mm-hmm. Y'all tell me, who could it be but Steve Harvey? Oh, everybody out there listening to me, put your hands together for Steve Harvey. Put your hands together,
will. Good morning, everybody. You're listening to The Voice. Come on, dig me now. One and only Steve Harvey. Got a radio show. Okay, I was thinking about it this morning, and I said, what can I share in a different way today? You know, it creates a challenge every morning to come up with something different. And at times, you know, I feel like I'm reiterating myself, and I am, and I find different ways to say the same thing almost. But I do that because, you know, sometimes if you hear it a different way, it impacts you differently. I've heard people say stuff to me my entire life, but somebody came along, said the exact same thing, but they said it a different way, and it struck a chord in me. It rung a bell. And so that's what I attempt to do. And, you know, some mornings I play back some ones that I think are just memorable or that I want to reiterate. And there's nothing wrong with that. So I hope everybody understands that. Today, though, I got one for you. I want to ask you a question. What choices are you making? See, life is full of choices. Now, as creatures, God gave us the humans. Of all the creatures he created, the humans, we have more of a power of choice than do any other creature he created. Fish have to live in water. They have to. Men have gone to outer space. Men have gone underwater for days and weeks and months at a time. You know, I mean, we got choices here. We can live in a hot climate. We can go live in a cold climate. You know, most animals are created for certain regions, certain climates. They don't do well in this. You know, you don't find a lot of animals in the polar ice, but then you don't find polar bears down in the, you know, South Arctic South Equator. So, you know, what choices are you making is what I'm saying, because we all have the power of choice. Now, I have made some bad choices in my life. I want you to understand that clearly. And I still, every now and then, I do myself a disservice with another bad choice. But I have tried to narrow them down through life experiences and reduce the amount of major mistakes I make. But let me tell you something. You're listening to a person who has made major, major mistakes in his choices. in my decision-making process, I have thrown myself down the cliff. I can't tell you how many times. When I decided not to pay attention in college, when I didn't develop study habits in high school, when I chose this woman over that woman. I chose, man, I can't tell you, y'all. I did it. To go over here and get with this girl, this woman over here, when I should not have. Clearly, man, should not have. But I made the choice to do it anyway. I made a decision. I did some things that caused myself to be homeless for a period of time. I made some decisions that messed up my credit for a long stretch of time. I made some decisions that, just had people just kind of, you know, not even wanting to help me. So the question is, what choices are you making? When I changed my decision-making process, I changed the entire direction of my life. When I made a conscious decision to look at life differently and make better choices and better decisions, it changed my entire life. I decided, instead of going down the path I was going on, I decided to choose life. First of all, I wanted to live. So I decided I wanted to choose life. So I'm not going to do the things that could bring about my demise or my death. I'm out. I ain't with this. This is not, no. I choose life. Then I made another decision. I said I choose life and I choose it more abundantly. You know what that means? God comes into your life to give you life and give you life more abundantly. So that means just more of it. So I chose that. I said, okay, man, I need to start talking to God a little bit more because the way I've been figuring this thing, man, has gotten me to this point. I ain't really cool with the point I'm at. See, eventually you just got to be uncool with the point you're at. So I chose life and I chose it more abundantly. Then I chose to start showing mercy to people because I needed some more people to show mercy to me. See, remember why I said I was going through a period in my life when it seemed like wouldn't nobody help me? Nobody seemed to exhibit mercy towards me. Well, I wasn't creating that much mercy myself, I don't guess. So I decided to choose mercy. I decided to choose forgiveness. I started forgiving people who had wronged me, who told me I wasn't going to amount to nothing. I forgave them. Who tried to talk me off the path, who went by my mother's house and told my mama, your son Steve, he lazy. He don't want to work. That's why he out there struggling like that, trying to do that comedy thing. I wasn't lazy, man. I just ain't want to work for you. I'm willing to work. Look at me. I work hard. Trust and believe that. But I was not willing to work for them. Or I wasn't willing to take the route they took, so they label me lazy. I'm not a lazy person. But I chose forgiveness, though. I chose to forgive them because I didn't have time to berate them. And then I chose moving forward. I decided that I wasn't going to go back, that I wasn't going to live my life in my past, that I wasn't going to let my past determine who I was going to be. See, I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. I really am. I'm absolutely fine with the person I used to be. God got to save you from something. So I'm cool with that. But all that was the ingredients, though, that got me to this point. So I'm fine with my past. But what I do not do is allow my past to dictate what I am, where I'm going, what I can be. God forgave me, so I forgave myself. I chose to move forward, not stay in the past. I choose laughing. I choose laughing. I decided that I was going to laugh more every day. I chose learning. I wanted to open myself up to new things. I wanted to open myself up to knowing something that I've never known before. I allow people to teach me things. I chose joy. I decided to quit seeking fun all the time and sit down somewhere and be all right with me. See, I ain't got to go and do no more. I ain't got to go out here and hook up with this person and get this in my life. And, man, let's buy this and hook this up. Now, y'all come in here, and we're going to have some fun. Nah, man, I stopped doing that. I chose joy. I chose to be sitting somewhere with my girl with a cigar, and I'm just all right, just me and her. I chose joy, man. See, fun, you got to go do something to have fun. But joy, joy is within. Joy is when you sitting there with yourself because you done connected with your creator. You done found something with God, and you cool with you now. See, I chose to be cool with me. What are your choices? You got to make better choices. You make better choices, you have a better outcome. You change your attitude, you change your altitude. It all ties together, but we got to just make better decisions. What are you deciding today? Watch it, okay? Be careful. Make sure you're making better. Start making better decisions today.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, today is going to be different. I have decided, without conferring with anyone, that today would be a day, well, come on, of ignorance.
There it is.
I knew it.
Yes. Every day.
I think that this should, no, surely, not like
call
today.
On us.
Yes, it is. It's every day.
Every single day
okay.
That,
right,
that we crack
right,
the mics.
Watch this. Watch this. What up, fool?
Huh?
But not the high.
What up,
sit right
fool?
Over here on this front post.
Ready huh? And waiting.
Hey, ladies.
Hello, Steve.
Stay out the way. Try to control it. Do
hey,
your
Steve.
Best. Do your best.
All right, well, let's, okay, well, then if this is going to be a different day of ignorance, let's have it. Don't okay. back up now. Don't back okay. down now.
Okay, say what no you need, more. Let's start with any question you want to ask me. Let's just get this started right now. Any question you want to ask me, this can carry over into 634. These are all ignorant, non-responsible answers.
Oh, okay. Tell Junior. I don't, just, but tell Junior, you can see how fat you are the most when you are wiping your backside. That's when the most of your fat leans forward and you're able to really see how much fat really is
oh,
on
yeah.
you.
So you still reaching behind yourself?
Yes, you reaching back
you
there.
You ain't learned?
So what? That's how we're still, okay.
Oh, you
okay, okay. All right, now.
You still jamming your hand down the back of the toilet.
This is a new
seat.
Level of ignorance, okay. You win.
No, all right, thank you. Thank you, Tony. Just,
oh, my God.
Appreciate it.
That was you the fattest.
Yeah. When nah. you, that's when nah, you're the fattest.
I didn't
are
think
we
you
still
could,
cool with this now?
I didn't think you could
no.
top yourselves. I no. really didn't, but man, oh man.
Remember yeah. you're the fattest. Well, you got to put your hand on the wall in front
it's
of you.
It's early. It's early, guys. Yeah. It's early in the morning.
Early,
yeah,
right,
people
cool.
are
it's
having, they're eating or they're
okay.
just getting up.
No, this is when everybody's going.
Oh, okay. Man.
This is breakfast time.
Wow. Really? Okay, let's start okay. this again, Steve. Because
can you speak to us again? Can
yeah,
we
that
do
was
over?
That's unacceptable. Too far.
Too far. Said ignorant. I just wanted to be there.
That ain't nothing.
That ain't oh, nothing. That's, I beg to differ with you.
Girl, you know the stuff I done held back.
Give you credit for that.
Wait, I'm just trying to show you ways that you.
Okay. Okay. How about this?
Where's
let's not
the line?
Let's
no,
not
Shirley,
do bodily functions. Let's not do
okay,
bodily
cool.
functions.
All right, Shirley,
all right,
ask me another question.
All right,
okay,
all right.
Bodily functions.
Okay, no let's bodily not, functions. Yeah, that's out.
Be quiet,
okay.
Tommy. 30 seconds. You got 30 seconds.
All right.
What did
you
say, Tommy?
I said peeing too.
That's a bodily
that's a
function. We just said.
Okay.
All right, give Steve. I'll just ask you anything. What kind of day are you expecting to have today? How
absolutely
about that?
Incredible. That's incredible. Absolutely
great.
Incredible.
Okay, that's a
that
perfect perfect answer.
Great.
Thank
now,
you.
When, we, go, when go. We come back, you're going to see how incredible it is.
Oh,
we'll be right back. We'll be right back. Okay. You ain't got to mess around with okay. this. We're going to continue the Ask Steve segment right after this. It's going to be good. Let's go.
We'll be back at 32 after. Jesus, help us all.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve. So, listen, when we first opened up the show, you said today was going to be really ignorant.
Yeah.
You said
mm-hmm.
that. And so I came back with what's different about today. They're all ignorant. Every day that we're on this show is
this
ignorant.
Is going to be most.
Yeah, so.
I got questions.
I just asked you a simple question. I just wanted to start off with a simple, I said, what kind of day are you expecting to have
today?
And
I already told you, absolutely fabulous day. Okay, now let's go and get to some real
okay,
questions.
Now that's not ignorant.
If no, you still.
You can do it.
No, it's absolutely fabulous.
Yeah.
Be quiet, boy, and let the questions come.
He had a question.
Let him.
Lord.
Yeah, see if you say, oh, Lord. Yeah.
Go ahead. Mm.
If you steal from a thief, ain't that cool?
Oh, because, yeah.
You know, these questions that's supposed to be coming from Shirley, supposed to be questions that we can answer to, this ain't that's deep, Corey.
It's a deep question, but I deserve an answer. But that's all right if you don't want to answer.
Okay, let's see. I'm just asking you normal questions.
Yes, ma'am.
Just normal questions.
Yes, but they're going to get an ignorant answer.
All right, your next book, what are you going to write about in your next book? You've written about success. You've written about telling women.
I've already decided.
Okay, what is it, Steve?
Ant farming. Yeah. I'm going to write a book about how to farm ants.
How do you turn these perfectly normal questions into this ignorance?
I just told you it's going to be the next question.
No. If anybody
want an ant farm, just email. I'll send you the book. I ain't even charging for it.
Okay, how's your vegan diet going?
You know what? It's actually going pretty good.
See, that's a normal question.
I've been a vegan now for 3 weeks, but I've created a new term. Oh. I'm actually not a vegan. I'm a vegan X. What, vegan X is different.
What is a vegan X, Steve?
I'm a vegan to the next time I eat meat.
Oh. That lets you know that you ain't going to
be coming.
Yeah.
Want you to know that.
Yeah.
But only after I reach my certain goals.
I like that.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. How long are you planning on keeping your beard?
I don't know. I'll probably keep this for a while, you know, depending on, you know. My girl said she liked.
Take your time.
You know what made me say I'm going to keep... Monica complimented me on it this morning.
Oh, okay.
Mississippi Monica.
Well, were you considering shaving it or something?
Well, no, it wasn't, but just hearing it from her, because her being from Mississippi and being around a lot of hillbillies, you know, and they have long beards, you know, like Appalachian people and all like that. And she more of a beard expert, because she done seen them down there. Everybody got a beard at the catfish convention.
Okay, Steve.
So you got a Mississippi beard?
Is that what you're saying?
I'm just saying Mississippi Monica know a lot about beads.
Yeah.
Oh.
So when she complimented me, I took it as an ultimate.
Oh, like you should keep
it. Meant something when she
Yeah, did. Yeah. Coming from her, she done seen some beads in Mississippi at all the catfish competitions and, you know, crackling competitions, and pig feet bobbing. Redneck games, Monica was queen at the redneck games.
What?
Yeah, she was Mississippi queen down there.
Queen of the festival.
Redneck game. They love Monica down there.
I don't see how that works, but okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She was the queen at the fair.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, you're going to keep the beard then. Okay.
Yeah.
So you said you were going to change your wardrobe this year.
Yeah,
how's that going?
The new suits is already on. Mm-hmm. New cut.
Yeah. And what is that cut?
More tailored, more European.
Uh-huh.
More, mm-hmm. You know, just more.
Okay.
You
know.
Just more.
All right.
It's just more. You know, it's reinvention time.
You thought what?
You're going to look like Cam Newton or something like that look right there.
But he be wearing them flood pants.
Yeah,
flood
the
pants
short pants.
Cam be fly now. Cam Newton be fly. Because he can do that.
Why don't you try some shorts like LeBron, Steve?
Well, Tommy can't wear shorts.
No. That ain't got nothing to do with me. She asked, this is your question.
Oh, I thought she
asked you about
he
your
made
shorts.
That perfectly clear.
Oh, well, I mean, he was talking about how Cam Newton looking. You know, talking about shorts, and I just said, Tommy can't wear shorts. You can't be short and have on
shorts. You just heard the word short, and you automatically went to Tommy.
How you going to be short and have on shorts?
I got shorts.
Well, what are they called?
They called shorts.
They're called littles.
Man, they can't be called shorts.
Littles.
You sure them ain't panties?
I know you do.
Go ahead, next question. Next question.
You did not sit here and panty me out.
Let's see.
I asked a question. I didn't accuse you, sir. I didn't say you had. I asked a question.
See, this is a normal conversation. I like it. You haven't really gotten ignorant yet. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Here you go.
Really?
Next question.
Well,
here you go. Let's go.
Okay. What's your favorite news source?
I like fake news. I like CNN. Yeah, I like CNN. Good old fake news.
Okay, is there a chance that if Kanye were to throw his hat in the ring to run for president, that you would throw
your support
behind him?
I'm not wasting my damn vote on Kanye.
Why not? He can
run. If Kanye run, if anybody else black run, I'm voting for them.
Okay.
Okay.
So
anybody else black run other than Kanye? I can't waste my vote on Kanye. Kanye doesn't even understand how much money it takes to run. He ain't gonna have an ad commercial on TV.
He'll do all social media probably.
Man, ain't nobody.
Yeah, either that or grassroots.
Yeah. Yeah. And his wife will make a beautiful first lady.
That's no doubt. I'm okay. I'm cool with that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Melania cool in there.
I'm
after that,
cool with Kim being up in there now. Ain't nothing wrong with Kim being in there.
If there was a way we could make President Obama run again, if we could change the laws and he could get back in there.
Well, legally, now listen to this. Okay. If Joe Biden ran, legally, President Obama could run as vice president.
His VP.
Yeah. Just like Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton. Yeah,
legally.
If she had won, then he would be legally our first man.
But
not
first
VP, gentleman, though.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Let's go back to Kim being first lady. Let's go back to that. They don't do no background check on the ladies, do they? The first lady, do they? Don't, huh? Huh? They're not going to pull her tape out.
Yeah, they're going to pull the tape out.
Well, this has been civil. This has been very civil. I like it. It's been very civil. See, you've made me happy. All right, coming up, the nephew is going to run that prank back right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll have some entertainment news for you. No worries. That's what Angela Bassett said. Beautiful Angela Bassett said this to the New York Times. Somehow they mixed her up with Omarosa. We'll talk about it. But
what?
Yes. We'll talk about it. Coming up in entertainment news. But
who got her confused with Omarosa?
I mean, really?
The nephew is here to run that prank back. What you got, King of Pranks?
You've been riding in my car.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you've been doing. You've been riding in my car. Let's run now.
Hello?
I'm trying to reach Curtis, please.
Yeah, this is Curtis.
Hey, you the one who worked at the hotel and you do valet parking?
Yeah, I work at the.
Okay, let me tell you something. You the one that parked my 750 BMW. You just took the change out of my car, the loose change I had in there, and you also done put 100 miles on there, and I know you the one did it because you the one I tipped. I tipped you. You parked it, and then when I came back, you the one brought my car back, and I tipped you. I know you the one put them damn miles on my car,
hold
man.
Hold on, man. Hold on. Wait, hold on. Who is this?
My name is Jason, man. Jason,
how did you get my number?
I got your number from the hotel manager. I told him I needed to talk to Curtis, who do the valet parking, and they gave me your number. You the one put these miles, man. You put 100 miles
on
my car.
Hold on, I ain't put no miles on your car, man. That's all I do is just get the cars and park them. That's it. I ain't taking no change from nobody's car either.
You the one took my change. I had T.D. Jakes in there in the CD player. When I got in there, it was Big and Smalls or somebody in there. You the one was in my car, man.
Man, I don't even know how to work that radio in there. Man, look, what I probably parked your car because I parked a whole lot of cars. Maybe somebody else probably took your car and drove it around, but I don't know.
How many more Curtises work at the hotel and do valet parking?
I work at the and do valet parking, but that's all I do is park the cars. I don't take nobody's car and drive it around the town or steal nothing from their car. I ain't no thief, man.
Hey, man, let me tell you something, man. I know you the one put these miles on here. You hear me? I know you was the one, man.
Hold on, man. Look, man. I'm on probation right now, right? So, I mean, I ain't got no time to be stealing nothing out about nobody's cars. I'm just part-time job, man, just parking cars. I'm trying to take care of me and my little girl. That's it. I'm telling you, if somebody did take your car and drive it around or steal something from your car, we can figure it out. You know what I'm talking about? If you just bring the car up and you just come and we can talk to the managers and figure it out. But I promise you it wasn't me, man.
Hey, man.
I promise you. If you should just slow down and listen, you know, we'll find out what happened with your car.
You the one did it, man. You the one put the 100 miles on my car. You had that red vest on. You had that name tag said Curtis. You pulled off in it, and you pulled back up in it. You the only one drove it. You was the one.
Hey, man, hey, lower your voice a little bit, man. Hold on, I can hear you.
No, I know you can hear me. You're going to hear me when I get in your though. You're going to hear me when I do that.
What the telling me?
I said, you going to hear me when I get in your because you put that 100 miles on it, I'm going to come up to that damn.
Hey, man, I told you I ain't putting 100 miles in your car, right? I'm just, hey, man, you know what? I didn't steal nothing from your car. I ain't putting 100 miles in your car, right? I told you I'm on probation right now. That's all I do. I go to work, I park these cars, and I come home to take care of me and my girl, all right? I ain't putting 100 miles on your car, man. I ain't take your car. That's all I did was drove your car and parked it, man. That's it.
Put 100 miles, it was like 104 miles extra on that car when I got back in it. Let me tell you something, man. I'm going to come up. When do you work again? When do you work?
Tomorrow. I work tomorrow night.
What time do your get there?
I'll be there at 6 o'clock.
Okay, then. I'm coming up there at 5:45. And guess what, Mr. Curtis? I'm going to deal with your little by myself.
Man, dog, come bring your up to that job. That job is you, dog. Bring your up to the job. What kind of car you say you had again?
I said I got a black 750 BMW. I'm coming up there. When I get out of it, have your ready. Here, Curtis, have your ready.
Already. No, I'm going to be ready. I'm going to have my little verse on for you, too. It's going to say, Curtis, just bring your black up there because you sound like you're black.
Yeah, I'm black. I'm black, my car black, and I'm finna get in your black tomorrow.
Bring your tell you, stop with me, dog. Today, right? I'm telling you, I'm trying to shit out of my way on paper. That paper, this job, I'm telling you, bring your up there if you want to, dog. I'm telling you, it wasn't me, but I mean, you want to take it down, man.
I got one more thing I need to say to you, Curtis. You listening to me?
What?
Is you listening?
Yeah.
This is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. You just got pranked by your boy TC, who do valet parking with you.
What'd you say?
Hey, Curtis, your homeboy that you do, is it another guy work there named TC that do valet parking?
Yeah.
Hey, man, this Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show, he got me to prank phone call you.
Oh, man, I'm going to get that. Oh, Lord Jesus. Man, my heart was beat, man. My heart was beating so fast. I thought I was about to go back down. Oh, Lord. Oh,
you knew you was going back, Curtis.
Oh, Lord. I'm telling you, man. It was about to be over. It was about to be over. The first person I saw got out of it was about to get it. I'm telling you.
Curtis, you got to be strong, man. You going to be strong?
For sure.
Be strong, man. Don't let nobody push your buttons and have you going back, man. Just be strong.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm almost off. You know, I'm going to keep it straight, man, you know.
All right, man. Stay strong. You got to take care of this little girl, boy. You can't go back in there.
Already.
All right. I got one more thing I got to ask you, man. What is the baddest? I'm talking about the baddest radio show in the land.
Man, that's Steve Harvey Morning Show, baby.
And I think the title came from my uncle because I've ridden in his car so many times, and every time I've got out, I've heard that you've been riding in my car. Yes, I have.
All right, nephew.
Get ready, Nashville. Next week, I'm coming, baby. The nephew is coming to town. And I said it before, I'll let you know. If the nephew has added a show, I'm still on the brink of that.
Well, when you going to add it, man? All the shows are sold out. When is you going to add it?
He's so impatient.
I know, Uncle. I just like seeing those two words up there. And I just
If you just gonna... go on and add the show, quit being scared of success, boy. Add the show. You done sold out. Add the show.
You know, this would really go well if you weren't so aggressive.
Why am I...
You don't want him yelling at you? Is that
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Okay,
he's
sure.
an angry mentor.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Sure. Wow. The worst.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
You know his nerves are bad.
Add the damn show. What's wrong with you?
I'm really trying to figure out what's wrong. Yeah. I don't. So what's the damn debate?
That's a Tommy Uncle. Question.
Uncle, we'll discuss it over lunch. We're good. I'll talk to you about it.
And who are you?
Oh, yeah. I don't know who this white man is.
Who is he?
I swear I don't know who that is.
Oh, dear Uncle. You know, I'm going to think about it over the caviar, and when I'm done, I'll think about adding the show. And I think I just might do it, Uncle Steve.
Oh, did he just say caviar? You're back on the caviar? You're back
I
on it?
I never got off, no. Took a break, but I ain't got off.
He's back on caviar. Well, one thing, Steve, if he adds another show, you know he'll be MIA on Monday. So
I'm going to make it on Monday.
That's a debate right there.
I will be here, Shirley.
I think you should just take your uncle's advice. He's made a success out of this, Tommy.
But you're getting upset, Steve. You can't let him get your pressure up.
Do you know how big that is? If he just add one more, by the time he get that, that sure be sold out.
Okay.
I'm not lying to you.
Why are you talking about him like he not here? Like he can't hear you?
Right here.
Because if I talk to him, I get mad. I don't want to be the angry mentor.
All
so
right.
I'm talking to y'all, and I'm letting him overhear the mentor.
All right, we got to go. We got to go. Maybe it'll sink in one day. Coming up in entertainment news, no worries is what...
No, I'm thinking about adding another show. Your stupid ass do the show.
No worries. Angela Bassett said this to the New York Times about them mixing her up with Omarosa. We'll talk about it right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, so the New York Times mixed up Angela Bassett and Omarosa, okay?
How,
Angela Bassett
how
and sure. Omarosa. They don't look anything alike, okay? They're both black women, and they're both one's in politics and one's in entertainment, okay? That's about where their similarities stop. And start and stop, I should say. However, the New York Times mixed them up in their Emmy coverage. There's a photo of them which featured Angela Bassett with Tiffany Haddish and a brand new Emmy winner Rachel Brosnahan. Brosnahan, I should say.
And they thought that was Omarosa?
Yeah. They appeared in the early edition of the art section. It should be noted that Getty Images made the mistake first, but the fact that no one at the Times caught it, it was just shocking. Okay, once they did catch it, they tweeted out an apology and promised to issue a correction. And you know, Steve, how the corrections are. They're usually...
It's going to be a small blurb in the paper up under the classifieds. Of a dump truck that's for sale.
Exactly, right? The correction is never bigger than the mistake or the same size. Naturally, you know, everyone on Twitter, they just went in on the Times. One Twitter user said, do all dark-skinned black women look the same to your editors? Well, Angela Bassett, ever classy, and she's always classy and so eloquent and elegant, she tweeted off a picture of Kerry Washington as Olivia Pope with the caption, "It's handled." And she accepted the Times apology. So there you go.
I don't know how she couldn't tell the difference. One had a tape recorder and one didn't. We already know.
Did Omarosa say anything?
I haven't seen anything.
I haven't seen anything just yet from her.
She's probably happy if they made that mistake, if her name was mentioned. Yeah, she could probably sell a few more books or something.
Yeah, she don't have nothing to be mad at right there.
And may I say that Angela Bassett looked beautiful Emmy night.
Yes, she did. She was stunning.
She
beautiful, yeah. And they were saying she's 60 years old. I find that so hard to believe.
That.
Yeah, she looks fantastic. She looks fantastic, yeah.
Yep.
And they said something, Steve, this would be of interest to you, that when she cut out dairy, that's when she started getting more muscle definition.
She's toned.
Angela Bassett. Yeah, she's very, very toned. Remember how great she looked when she played Tina Turner?
What?
Her arms. Yeah, so she, I read somewhere that they said she cut out dairy. She said she cut out dairy, and that's when she really started getting muscle definition.
Well, I haven't had any dairy now in 3 weeks.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So.
I'm just trying to, but my problem is I have so much in me.
Ice cream, so much cheese.
It's going to take way longer than 21 days to get out of my system.
You got to pipe all this out.
Man, I got some stuff in me, man. Yeah.
But Angela Bassett looks fantastic.
I'm just a big ass trash can.
Big ups to Angela Bassett.
Yes, we love you. Love you, definitely. And other entertainment news from the Real Housewives of Atlanta, Portia Williams. Has announced that she is pregnant. Congratulations to her.
All right, Portia,
Yeah. And her baby daddy is her new man, entrepreneur Dennis McKinley. So we say congratulations to you guys.
All right,
Portia. Mommy to be.
Yeah.
She wanted to have children. So
yeah, she's always talked about the fact that she wanted to have children. Yeah.
You ain't going to want them after you get them.
I got my tube tied. I am not.
You can't go through it no more.
What?
Oh.
That is it.
I'm just telling you the truth. I wanted to put LF one of mine back.
Well, Steve, it is time to get caught up on today's headlines.
Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Ann Tripp.
Thank you very much, everybody. Good morning. This is Antrip with the news. President Trump went to both North and South Carolina yesterday to personally survey conditions in the wake of Hurricane Florence. North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper says things are bad.
I've talked to people who have lost their entire home, people who really don't know what to do with the fact that their business has been washed away. Farmers who had a majority of crops in their field that they were not able to harvest in time.
President Trump handed out meals at a local church. In other words, he didn't throw out rolls of paper towels, and he promised help from Washington.
We're ready to do whatever we have to do to make this perfect. Unfortunately, the money will be a lot, but it's going to come as fast as you need it. We're going to take care of everybody.
Rescue teams have now begun turning their efforts. That's right. The death toll has risen to 37 deaths. A woman who went to the same high school as the college professor who says Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh sexually assaulted her says she remembers hearing about the incident, and she's pretty sure it did occur. In a Facebook post, Christina Miranda King says she does remember hearing about that alleged incident, although she had no firsthand information. She says that the Professor Ford, when they were in high school, was a year or two behind her, but she remembers her and that, quote, many of us heard buzz about it on campus, and she feels the accusation is true. Meanwhile, Brett Kavanaugh's accuser has until Friday at 10 a.m. to submit testimony to the Senate Judiciary Committee if she intends to appear before the panel next week. However, the woman says through her attorney she's gotten death threats and will not appear until the FBI investigates. In Florida, the death of an African-American woman who had just assumed the rank of Navy Chief Petty Officer being investigated as a murder. Police say they received a medical emergency call the night Andrea Washington was found dead, but they think foul play. Chief Petty Officer Washington was a 19-year veteran, mother of three. She was found dead in her Jacksonville home. Officer Washington had been granted a temporary restraining order early this month from a guy who she said had kicked and pulled a gun on her. She was to appear on Monday in court, but never showed up. Expect to get a text from the president this afternoon. Yes, the president, Donald Trump, starting around 2:18 p.m. Today, Americans should get a message with the header presidential alert, followed by a text that says this is a test of the National Wireless Emergency Alert System. No action, by the way, is going to be needed, but you're going to get a test starting around 2:18 this afternoon. Apparently, the government wants to make sure that the system they have now in place will actually work as intended. Finally, today is National Punch Day. No, the drink. Here's up, Steve Harvey Nation. Find out if Uncle Steve is smarter than his nephew. We'll be back 20 minutes after the hour on the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
dherbs.com. dherbs.com. That's the company. That's the website. Let's clean out the processed foods and toxins dragging you down. Go to dherbs.com and do the full body cleanse. The dherbs cleanse is no fad diet. It's been the number one selling cleanse online for over a decade, with over 4 million formulas sold. We've all done the cleanse. We love it and know you will lose weight and feel great. And right now, you're going to get a major discount at checkout with promo code Steve. dherbs.com, promo code Steve, or call 866-4-D-HERBS. All right, Tommy, it's Thursday Night Football. Let's go. What you got?
Well, you know, it brings me great privilege to let my uncle know that the New York Jets will be playing the Cleveland Browns
tonight.
You damn
right. It gives me great privilege. Warm they draws. We finna warm they draws.
I love
Jets. Bring them Jets. Bring Donaldson. Bring they D. Because the Browns got a defense. Let's go.
Okay.
Body scared of no damn Jets.
Where we get all this wind in our jowls? All the chest all swollen up. What's all that?
Hey, dog. You're from Houston. Ain't y'all 0-2?
Shots fired. Shots fired.
Don't let your little tie fool you, okay? Mm-hmm.
Hey. You ain't won a game.
Mm-hmm. At least you got a loss.
I bet you'd rather have a tie than a loss.
The Jets are 1-1. Y'all 0-1.
They 0-1-1.
We 0-1-1. Y'all 0-2.
Wow.
See how that drop off?
And these games count, right? These early games.
We in they draws. In the tat ass draws. You don't understand. Tell me. Why does my enthusiasm bother you so much?
What bothered me, you're in here bragging over a tie. That's what get me.
It's not a loss, Tommy. It's not a loss. That's why.
You can't brag at all.
Well, he might have a chance. He'll have a chance coming up to brag about something, yeah, maybe.
Well, when?
Well, you're talking about tonight, though.
Well, right now we're 0-2. Everybody
come on, Texans.
Come on.
One more time, I wish your team well and all that.
But see, what bothered me about Tommy is when I have my enthusiasm for my team, I've been ride or die, win, lose, or draw. Yeah, and it's been all losses. So finally we get a tie. We played the Pittsburgh Steelers all the way down to the last minute. We ain't got no damn kicker. I've been trying to figure out, is the kicker still on the team?
Nah, y'all replaced.
He gone?
Oh, they fired him?
Yeah, they fired him.
I've been trying to find out.
Yeah, so who we got? I don't care who we got.
Yeah.
But see, they can get rid of him and bring me in there. I can miss the next kick.
You can make that check.
But Steve, you are a diehard fan, though. You really are. Cleveland, you ride or die. Everything. You ride or die.
Cleveland, baby. Yeah. Cut and made in that city.
Yeah, y'all got a kicker now named Greg Joseph now.
That's good.
Yeah.
Or Joseph Greg. Either one.
His name.
Anybody but who the hell we have.
Yeah, Zane Gonzalez is gone. Y'all don't have him no more.
All right, coming up next, Tommy, you may have a chance to brag. Who knows? Are you smarter than nephew Tommy?
Ooh, we ain't got nothing else to do.
At 34 after the hour. Why is this game so stressful? I don't get it.
I don't understand, girl.
Yeah, it's coming up right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
It is time, guys, now to play Are You Smarter Than Nephew Tommy? This game is so stressful, and it shouldn't have to be because what? It's a game.
It's stressful to me because I keep winning.
How is that stressful?
And that's pressure.
It's frustrating. Because I want so desperately for my nephew to win something. Because he family. It's a bad look.
But I'm saying the same thing right behind him. It's
okay, who playing today? Junior, you want to play Tommy today?
I'll do whatever we need to do.
Okay, we've decided it's Junior and Tommy today.
Yeah.
All right.
Because I'm just exhausted.
Because Steve's stressed out.
All this winning.
Yeah, you need a break, Steve. Winning is stressful.
All this whipping these kids.
It's too much. And we got a tweet, guys, from a First Lady Behind. That is her Twitter handle. She said,
First Lady Behind.
That's what it says. Steve got grandchildren. That's why he knew Finding Nemo. Tommy, you short.
Yeah, let's got to do that.
That's all you got?
See, that's why people be about to get their ass whipped right there.
When they see you on the streets out there.
See, this is the very ring.
Out there in the streets, Tommy. Okay, here we go. Tommy and Junior, listen carefully.
Keep them coming.
Yeah, listen carefully. Pat Sajak and Vanna White are stars of what TV game? Which supermodel created the baby fat clothing line?
Kamora Lee Simmons.
What legendary group released the single Dancing Machine in 1974? What type of animal is the cartoon character Barney?
A dinosaur.
A dinosaur.
Which daytime talk show regularly does DNA paternity tests?
Mari Povich.
What color?
Jerry Springer.
What color is used to represent breast cancer awareness?
Pink.
What city opened the first Starbucks coffee store?
Seattle, Washington.
We all dread going to the DMV. What do the letters DMV?
Driver Motor Vehicle.
Are you here?
What do the letters DMV stand for?
Department of Motor Vehicle.
What city has a caddy? What sport
Golf.
Has a caddy?
Golf.
Sorry. What 90s sitcom starred the characters Al and Peggy Bundy?
Love and Marriage.
Married with Children.
Married
with
Children.
Together like a house and curry.
That's the theme song.
Yeah, that's all I could come up with under the
there's no need to tally again.
Now, Tommy did beat you on this one.
Come on.
Tommy got two, actually. Read the questions again, Carl.
All right, here we go. Pat Sajak and Vanna White are stars of what
tie.
TV game show?
That
Wheel of Fortune.
That was a tie.
Well, our official tally says Tommy got that one.
What?
Yeah. Which supermodel created the baby fat clothing line?
Now, Tommy got that because he said Kamora.
Kamora, he did.
And Junior said Kamora Lee Simmons.
That is true.
Tommy got that one.
Okay. Okay.
That's it.
What?
I mean, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
What legendary group released the single Dancing Machine in 1974, the Jackson 5? That was Junior. What type of animal is the cartoon character Barney? A dinosaur. Junior, you were right. Which daytime talk show regularly does DNA paternity tests for its guests? Maury Povich, you are the father. You are right, Junior. What color?
I said Jerry Springer.
Yeah, you did. Yeah,
they said fighting. You've been
it's
right.
It's a fight. Hey, it's a fight.
What color is used to represent breast cancer awareness? Pink, Junior. What city opened the first Starbucks coffee store back in 1971? Junior got this one. Seattle, Washington. We all dread going to the DMV. What do the letters DMV stand for? They stand for Department of Motor Vehicles. Tommy got that one, yeah. What sport has a caddy? Golf. Junior were right.
What city has a caddy?
What sport has a caddy? Golf. What 90s sitcom starred the characters Al and Peggy Bundy? We ran out of time. It was Married with Children.
Steve got that one.
And Steve got it, yeah. All right, so let's see. Junior got 6, Tommy got 3. There you go.
Yeah. I'll be damned.
Oh! Yeah. Well, Tommy, 7 questions, you ain't saying nothing.
What is that? I'll be
Tommy, are you here? Oh, he there.
All right. The nephew, he's great at this always. King of pranks. We've got a prank for today coming up with the nephew right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour, right about 4 minutes after, it's my strawberry letter for today. Subject, my husband's drinking is no longer a secret. But right now, it is the nephew.
Well, we know who this letter about.
But we don't know who wrote it, Steve. Right now, nephew
Bet
Tommy
I can
is
tell.
Here. Nephew Tommy is here with today's prank phone call.
What'd you say?
What you got, Neff?
Uh-huh. Your trash stink.
Ugh.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. Your trash stink. That's it. Play it.
Hello? Hello. Hey, I'm trying to I'm trying to reach Swerve.
Yeah, this is me. Who is this?
Hey, how you doing, man? I'm one of your neighbors, but I'm one street over from you. You over there off you at River Ranch Drive?
Yeah, that's right. Who is this?
This Rico, man. How you doing? I'm one of your neighbors on the next street over. How you doing?
Okay, I'm doing good, brother. How you get my number?
One of the neighbors on your block gave me the number, man. We was having a little situation, wanted to reach out to you. Some stuff going on here in the neighborhood, man, and wanted to try to make you aware of it.
Well, what's going on, brother?
It seemed like you know, the trash man run on Tuesday.
Okay.
And Saturday.
Right.
Now, the problem is that a lot of people, I guess since the holiday just passed, you know, a lot of people got their stuff out on the curb already.
Right.
Right. Now, the problem is that they're saying, man, is that your trash is actually really, really foul. It's smelling pretty bad, and we wanted to call you, man, and see if you didn't
have... Hold on. You say you calling me because you smell my trash?
Well, yeah, they say yours is the one that's really stinking, man. And if you could actually maybe put it back in the garage until Tuesday, you know.
I'm not putting no trash in no garage. That's why I put it outside. I didn't have enough room in the garage.
Okay, well see that.
Who is everybody saying my trash stinks?
Hey, listen, I'm not trying to.
This is what I want to tell you. If everybody in the hood got a problem with my trash stink, you tell them to come take the out.
Okay, we've discussed that too. But listen, we don't want no trouble, man. If we can just get you to put your trash back in.
I'm not moving no trash. I pay rent over here, my brother.
Hey, we're not gonna go back and. I'm not gonna go back.
I don't give a what you gonna do. I'm telling you where I pay rent at. Don't tell me to do over here.
Okay, well listen, man. Aren't you concerned that your trash is stinking and reeking through the whole neighborhood?
I don't give a damn if who smell my trash. If they got a problem with it, tell them come take it out. Still in and staying out there.
Okay, well, that's the problem. The problem is that you took it out and you took it out too early. You shouldn't have put this out till Tuesday morning. And that's
Tuesday,
what we're going to start
Tuesday, Saturday,
Tuesday.
Monday, Friday. If I put it out there and stay it out there till they come get it.
I'm not going to go back and forth with you, man. Okay?
I don't give a damn what you're going to do. You ain't finna call me telling me to take my trash out. I pay rent over here.
Okay, well, hey.
How is everybody smelling my trash out of everybody on the street?
I don't know. I from my understanding, it's a couple holes in it and some some food or something must have got out. I don't know if one of the rodents or a dog got in it or what the case may be. But, you know, we need to try to get your trash in the backyard or something, man.
My trash ain't going no damn well. And how come you the one? What you the focusing on this? How come my next door neighbor ain't calling? How come your around the corner and you calling? Who put you up to this?
Well, everybody's smelling it. I was just fortunate enough to get your phone number. I said, well, look, I just gone and called it myself.
Well, I tell you this. You and the that gave you my phone number. Tell them come take it out. Till then, it ain't going nowhere, Flair.
Okay, well, listen, Swerve. This way we decide on in case we got to this situation with you.
What's that?
I just come over there and put the trash in your backyard until Tuesday morning. And Tuesday morning, I'll come back over there and take it out. That way, all the smell will be in your backyard and
hold
it won't
on.
Be out on the
you say you go what?
I'm going to come over there and put the trash in your backyard so the smell, that funky,
Let me tell you this, man. If you come over here, you might well call the police, because that's who you're going to need if you come over here. Bring all the that had a problem saying my trash thing to come over here and take it out.
Well, hey, man, you trying to act like it don't smell, man.
I don't give a if it smell. I tell you what I do. I go out and poke throw rocks on it. Would that help you out a little bit?
Okay, but see, that's not what the people in the neighborhood want. We want you to take
I don't give a damn what they want. I'm telling you what I'm going to do. And how the f*** did you get my phone number any damn way?
Hey, I already told you, man. I got your number from one of the neighbors on your street that said they
didn't
want to get
tell
in the
tell me who, to the left or to the right? Tell me which one of the
okay, listen, Swerve. Once you get to the meat of the problem is your trash stink, dog.
How is my trash? How the hell y'all pinpoint my trash out of everybody else's trash on the block? And how in the hell you smell mine?
I don't know, man. I don't know what it is. I don't know if your trash busted open or what the deal is, but everybody's saying it's Swerve trash that's stinking.
Listen, that's too much trash for me to be going through trying to see what stink. It's dying. Bags of trash out there, and it's gonna stay out there till they come get it. And you ain't coming over here.
Okay, now that's where you wrong, Swerve.
No,
I am
wrong.
Coming over there. I'm coming over there, and I'm gonna take that trash and put it in the backyard till two. Now, if you're gonna try to get in my way, whatever. But I got to go and get this trash in the backyard.
I tell you what, bring your over here right now. I'm gonna put on my suit. I'm standing on the porch right now. Bring your around the corner. Come on, Rico, whatever your name
is. Rico. I'm Rico one street over, and I'm smelling your nasty trash, man.
Take your trash out. My may smell, but you ain't gonna come take it out. I bet you that.
Hey, listen, Swerve. I'm gonna say this.
Swerve, man, stop calling my name.
Excuse me?
Stop calling my name. Who in the hell told you to call me Swerve? All my call me by that name.
Okay, well, hey, that's what they call you. What's wrong with me calling you Swerve?
You don't call me that name. Now, you saying my trash thing. Come over here and take the trash out.
Hey, man, I ain't nobody sitting there scared of you, Swerve. I'm trying to get the name.
Didn't I just tell you to stop calling my name and no Swerve? Come over here. I'm going to show you what I'm going to do.
Okay, well, hey, then it is what it is. Bottom line, I'm on my way over there to move that damn trash. Thing.
Come over here and move it. I'm on the porch right now. Come on over here.
Meet me out by the nasty stinking trash you got.
I'm standing right next to it now.
Okay, well, I tell you what, I'm on my way now. And guess what I'm going to do when I get over there?
What the f*** you ain't going to do? What the f*** you going to do?
I'm going to tell you my damn name when I get over there. My name is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. You just got pranked by your cousin, Arise.
Oh, man, get the f*** out of here. Tell Arise, I'm a whoop of
Hey, man, I got to ask you something, dog. What is the baddest, and I mean the baddest, radio show in the land?
Oh, man, the Steve Harvey Show, man.
Oh, my God.
Trash stink.
Well, it's trash.
Yeah. So. It's not supposed to smell like roses.
You can over be stanky trash, though.
Yeah, but it's still true. Trash.
But
you can over be?
Over be stanky.
Over
be.
Over funk. It's over funk. It can happen.
Okay. But you got checked about it, though, didn't you? You just got checked.
I got checked. I mean, that's I'm going to get checked during the prank. I mean, that's going to happen.
Uh-huh. You look for that.
Yeah. I'm going for that.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You want them to do that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, how would you do it, Steve? We've
Thank
heard.
You, no, sir. Great job, Tommy.
How I'm would not, you do it?
I don't need to know how he would do anything, Shirley.
Why wouldn't you want to know? He's successful.
Hello.
He's on TV all day. He's on the radio. He's a king of comedy.
Hello.
You don't want to take a page out of his playbook? Hello.
Have you always been like this, Tommy, not listening to your
whole
uncle?
Whole damn life.
I hear him. What do you want me to hear him say?
They want you to listen.
Yes.
Just listen. I'm listening, Linda. Go ahead.
You can hear the train coming, but if your ass don't get off the track.
Mm. Why am I walking on a track?
See, he don't listen.
What
I tell you. He don't listen.
He don't get none of that.
You can't save him, Shirley. Quit trying.
So now I ain't got my car? Am I stranded?
Hold on, what you say, T? I get that, though. So I ain't got my car?
All right, nephew, listen, thank you so much. We love you. Up next, it is the Strawberry Letter subject. My husband's drinking is no longer a secret.
Sure.
Right after this. Yes,
I don't
nephew.
Have AAA.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at 41 after the hour, she has had a tough week, but our girl from the talk, Cheryl Underwood, will be here right now. Yeah, she's going to be here.
Why she have a tough
week? Yes, we do.
Well, because her friend, Julie Chen, quit the talk. Yeah, she left.
That's a girl.
And that's why, Steve. But right now, it's time for today's Strawberry Letter.
The tough week is when your ass got to.
I can't stand him.
You come up in there and you find out they got an ice cream truck in your pocket. Wow.
You'll just say anything that comes out
he
of
just
your
don't
mouth.
Care.
No, I'm
care.
Just saying that's a bad week.
Well, it's a bad week if you're friendly.
I'm gonna get over you being gone way faster than I'm going.
Duly noted, sir. All right, right now it's time for the Strawberry Letter. If you need advice on relationships, on dating, on sex, on parenting, on work, and more, please submit your Strawberry Letter to SteveHarveyFM.com and click Submit Strawberry Letter. Please tell him, Steve.
Man.
Today.
What she said.
Uh-huh.
What she had just said.
She being me.
Everything.
And we could be reading your letter on the air live, just like we're reading this one right now. Let's go, nephew.
Buckle up and hold on tight. Here it is, the Strawberry Letter.
My husband's drinking is no longer a secret. Dear Stephen Shirley, my husband and I have been married for 15 years and we have two children. My husband is a functioning alcoholic. He can work a full day without drinking, but as soon as he's off the clock, he starts drinking. He drinks in private. He doesn't leave his alcohol out where I can see it, but I can always smell it in his cup. This started shortly after we got married, and I allowed it and never confronted him. I can always tell when he's been drinking by the changes in his behavior and how he treats me and the kids. It's gotten worse recently, and I brought it to his attention. I told him that I know exactly what he's up to. He says that he drinks to unwind every now and then. Well, a few weeks ago, he left work early for a doctor's appointment, and later that evening, he came home in an Uber, and he was totally wasted. He could not stand up, and he was talking so much trash that I had to tell the kids to leave the room. He called me all kinds of names and told me that he was miserable in our marriage.
I knew it. I knew it.
The next day, I took the kids and left him. I've been staying with my mom for 3 weeks, and during that time, I encouraged him to get some help. My husband is great when he's sober, but he needs some professional help with his drinking. I have checked out, and I'm no longer trying to keep our marriage going. He visits me and the kids, and we still do some things as a family, and he's always sober when we see him. He wants more, but I don't. Neither of us can afford to live on our own. What should I do? Well, I mean, the obvious thing is there's no kind of marriage if you're just staying together because you can't afford to live on your own. You can't afford to live apart. That's no marriage. I mean, what about real love and real relationship and a real marriage? I mean, you're absolutely right as his wife and as his friend, hopefully, to encourage him to get some help.
because that and the Lord himself, it seems, are the only things that can make this situation better and work this situation out. You know, you've allowed it. You've been married for 15 years. You've allowed it. He started drinking shortly after you got married. And you say you did allow it and never confronted him about it. You can always tell when he's drinking because you can smell it. This thing has blown up. It's blown out of proportion now. He's stumbling drunk when he comes in. He can't even drive home. At least he has the wherewithal to know that he shouldn't be driving when he's that wasted. So I encourage you to continue to encourage him to get some help. And if he doesn't get any help, it does look like this marriage is over. And that's unfortunate because you guys have kids. But he says he's been miserable since the very beginning. What, Steve?
I'd say hell yeah.
Yeah. He says he's been miserable since the very beginning, and you're not willing. You don't want any more either. But the part about you can't afford to live on your own, you're going to have to work that out. Get a second job. Do whatever you have to do, because it looks like this marriage is doomed, especially if he doesn't get any help and change his behavior. Steve?
Let me just read something to y'all.
Okay.
My husband and I have been married 15 years. We have two children. My husband is a functioning alcoholic. Mm-hmm. He can work a full day without drinking, but as soon as he get off the clock, he starts drinking. Do that sound familiar?
I don't know what you're saying, Steve.
What you saying?
I hope I don't
been
know what you're saying.
Been married 15 years, got two kids.
No one we know wrote this letter, Steve.
I didn't ask you, do you know who wrote it?
Uh-huh.
I asked you, did this part right here sound familiar to anybody other than me?
Wow. No. Well, to me, no.
Well, it sound familiar to me.
What are you saying? Just say it.
Anyway. He started. Here's another one. Mm-hmm. This started shortly in it.
Say it again.
This started shortly.
Oh, the word.
Anybody. That sound like anybody we know.
Why, because of the word shortly?
Shortly.
Mm. This letter is full of clues.
It is not a mystery that we're trying to solve.
We're trying to help this lady.
Yes.
Then this is what she said. I can always tell when he been drinking by the changes in his behavior.
Uh-huh.
Who the hell can? Everybody knows somebody when they start drinking. She's sitting up here like she done had a damn revelation. A revelation. Comes in here talking about, no, I can always tell when he been drinking. Who can't? I'll be back.
Yeah, with part two of your response. Today's subject is my husband's drinking is no longer a secret. We'll be back at 23 after the hour.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, let's go. Let's recap. The subject is my husband's drinking is no longer a secret. That is the subject of today's Strawberry Letter, and we're waiting for part two of your response, Steve Harvey. Let's go.
Well, here's a dude who this woman claims is a functioning alcoholic. He drinks in private.
Mm-hmm.
He never leave alcohol out where they could see it. This started this started after they got married.
Yeah.
And she never confronted him. She can always tell when he been drinking because
mm-hmm.
of changes in the behavior and the way he treat me and the kid has gotten worse recently. I brought it to his attention. I told him I know exactly what he's up to. He says he drinks to unwind every now and then. Well, a few weeks ago, he left work early for a doctor's appointment. Later that evening, he came home in an Uber and was totally wasted. This when you drunk when you leave your car.
Anywhere.
And you don't leave your car voluntarily. Some people at the right. bar go, hey, you can't drive out
right.
of here.
Right.
We calling you an Uber. And let's thank God for stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't stand up. He was talking so much trash, I had to tell the kids to leave the room. He called me all kind of names. See, when you get drunk, it come out. And finally, he told me, this is what I was thinking the drinking was about. He was miserable in our marriage.
Yeah, that's what he said, right?
Miserable. But let me share something with you, though, lady. You've been miserable, too. If you honestly think about it, and I'll show you why I know you've been miserable. Because the next day, you took the kids and you left. Okay, you through. That's how you feel, you gone. I've been staying with my mom for 3 weeks, and during that time, I've encouraged him to get some help, and he need help. Mm-hmm. My husband is great when he's sober, but he needs some professional help with his drinking. I've checked out, and I no longer try to keep our marriage going. That's because you've been through for a long time. This was just the tip of the iceberg. This was just the straw that broke the camel's back. You got sick of it. This was the last time. See, you've been miserable, too. So don't wear this just because this drunk dude done came in here and had a revelation in front of you and the kid. I've been miserable in the marriage. You went soberly. You went, well, I'll be damned. I have two. And me and the kids is over mama's house. Now, you're going to have to go on and act like a girl. Now, he the one got to move. You go back to the house. Let him move.
She put up with it for a long time.
Yeah. He visits me and the kids. We still do some things together as a family. And he's always sober when we see him. He wants more, but I don't. Neither of us can afford to live on our own. What should I do? Well, you finna be roommates with an alcoholic. That's pretty much it. You ain't got the money to go nowhere. He ain't got enough money to put you out.
He's gonna have to do something.
You finna live with an alcoholic as a roommate. Oh,
God. Dang, Steve.
Tell the kids, quit calling him daddy, start calling him Jerome.
Rome, dog.
Yeah, just tell the kids and hit your daddy no more. He's a roommate. Don't do nothing together as a family no more. When he come in the room, y'all cut the TV off and leave.
But he's sober when they see him, when they go out on family outings.
He gonna get drunk unless he gets some help.
Yeah, he definitely needs help.
And if he wants more, he gonna drink when he get off work. And you gonna have another episode. Mm. My suggestion to you is follow your heart. He has to get help before he can come back. Mm-hmm. He's probably a great guy, like you say. But after he gets help and completes the program, 12-step, then every Wednesday he probably had to go on in. Hi, I'm Jerome. I'm an alcoholic. And you're just going to have to go on and say that.
Yeah.
Because they make you say that at the meetings. I ain't never been to the meetings before. I've seen it on TV.
Yeah. In movies and stuff.
Like, I had to go into, I was in a group one time that was, with physical disadvantages. I was in a group one time where you had to stand up and admit your flaw.
What?
And I've had to do that before.
And what did you stand up and admit?
Hi, I'm Steve and I have big lips. I've had to say that.
Big Lip Anonymous?
Yeah, and then I
had BLA?
But the lady standing next to me, hi, I'm Claire and I have a huge nose. And I looked at her and I went, damn. Man, you should have been in this class. Where you been? I don't know how you deal with that. Can you see anybody on your right or left with your other eye?
You say, we all got flaws.
There's no such group, is there?
Yeah,
no.
It probably is. You
no,
know,
I know
just,
it.
I was looking at getting into them, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I just try to stay abreast of these type of help groups, cases people out there listening to Strawberry Letter that need help.
Uh-huh.
You know, they got class with high.
Yeah.
I'm Harold, and I'm ugly. That love class Harold. Has a you waiting list, Harold. Though. You can't just go get in that one.
That has a waiting list?
Yeah, that's a waiting list to get in that. Yeah.
I like that.
Well, how do you get help for that, though? I mean.
From being ugly? No, yeah, what you do, you can't get help for being ugly. You learn coping skills.
Coping skills, how to deal with it.
Like, you know, don't stay in the mirror longer than 10 seconds. Because you can't do it.
10 seconds? That ain't a lot of time.
10 seconds, well, just do that's your enough. Hair. And get on.
Don't you brush your teeth in the mirror and stuff? And
I don't. I'll be in my closet brushing my teeth. Because I know not to stand there and look at it because I'm going to see something wrong. Because if you stare at yourself long enough, you know one of your eyes ain't the same size as the other one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
You just kept it too.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of my lips is bigger than the other one.
Which one, top or bottom?
Oh, the bottom. Bottom.
Easily the bottom.
That ain't even competition.
That thing got some weight. Like, let me tell you something. Candy's bottom lip round like walking around with a 5-pound bag of sugar hooked on your face. You ain't never had to do that.
You are crazy.
Girl, I'm just trying to tell you.
Well, I know when we try on shoes sometimes, one of our, like our left foot can be larger than our right foot or vice versa. Sometimes that is the case.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Mm-hmm. so. Maybe there's some truth to what you're saying, some validity to what you're saying.
Shirley, I'm about to go there, too.
What?
Bras, too.
One bigger than the other? I mean, no. One side? Can that happen?
Isn't that true, Shirley?
Yeah, yeah, it can. Yeah, it definitely can happen.
It's more common than you think. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, well, listen, we got to go. Thank you for that, Steve.
You know, I'm here for you.
Yeah, I see. Yeah. You can email us or Instagram us your thoughts on today's Strawberry Letter at Steve Harvey FM, or you can go to My Girl Shirley. And coming up in 10 minutes, it's our girl from The Talk, Cheryl Underwood, will be here. She's had an interesting week. She'll talk about it right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour, Carla will be spilling the tea with Carla's reality update. But right now, Steve, please introduce our girl from The Talk, the
Cheryl
one and only.
Cheryl Underwood.
Uh-huh. Hey.
Yeah.
Good morning. Morning, Cheryl.
Hey.
Cheryl.
What?
Let's talk.
It's been a tough week for you, girl.
Listen to me. Mm-hmm. Hold on. Let me catch my breath. Lord Jesus.
Why are you out of breath?
Because I'm trying to put my blouse on. I'm trying to squeeze all that fat in this little bitty shirt I'm trying to wear.
Cheryl.
What? Huh?
Well,
what?
Okay.
Huh?
As we all know, your friend Julie Chen
said
farewell to The Talk.
Farewell.
This week.
Yeah.
And Cheryl, you were really broken up about it. We want to remind the audience what touching and loving words that Julie Chen said about you. Take a listen.
Okay.
Cheryl, thank you for being the perfect go-to partner for the last 7 years. I open, you close, and you always bring down the house. We called ourselves the bookends, remember? And we always laughed when we said it to each other. Your wit and timing and humor and compassion and intelligence is simply unparalleled. You are incredible.
Wow.
I like that.
Sure. Yeah. Glowing words.
I'm gonna tell you something. When you hear me talk about two friends, among my other friends in the show, there are two of them. Steve Harvey is one, and Julie Chen is the other one. When you're talking about somebody that has saved my life more than I know, because I'm about to cry. People go through things in this business, and it looks bad, and people say, oh, they got everything. They could deal with it. Mm-hmm. I did not get to see the footage before it aired. And I'm ready to be the meme. You know, it's going to be me and Michael Jordan. You know how Michael Jordan got them red eyes?
Yeah.
And it's going to be me and Michael Jordan. And I didn't know what was going to happen, so I'm trying to wear my, what they call it, the Bantu knot. I'm trying to wear my Bantu knot with my hoop earrings.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And I didn't want to juxtapose that image of me crying and something. Now you a sucker and everything that you doing. No, this is a person that I've been sitting across for 7 seasons that we left. Yeah. When we first were telling them jokes about Black and Yellow, when the song Black and Yellow came out, we was joking to each other. You know, when I wanted to call somebody, when Crazy Rich Asians came out, and I was like, I should call Julie, we should go see it. And they was like, nah, that's like if somebody called you and go, let's go see Black Panther. I don't know how that's going to go. You know what I'm saying? When you friends with somebody, you care about what people think and say about them. Because she's, for everything she had, she's always been a friend to me. She was the person, when I first got on the show, I was writing the joke, Steve, and I was taking the profanity out of them. And this dude named Kingsley was standards in practice and say, and you know, they cleared the words you could say. And he was like, that's not funny, because he's British. And so I said, he said, how did Joe go? So I told how the joke go about my best girlfriend, Peaches, Vanessa Granberry, out of Chicago, crying over my husband's funeral. Good joke, hilarious, right? And so I told it without the profanity. They said, that's not funny. So then they said, how it go? And I told the joke with the profanity, and they was dying laughing. They said, say it like that. It was Julie that would step up and go, clear this for her to say. Let her have this spotlight. She was always the person that when she got a good laugh, because she was supposed to be the chin bot, you know, the person that's funny. Then she became funnier. And then she, impersonation, she got all my references. And I'm not saying this to be no sucker. You know how we say in the street? I'm saying it because never in this world do you think you're going to have a friend like this. And when your friend is going through something, true or not, whatever you feeling about it, that's still your friend. Just like in my mind, Steve Harvey is my big brother, who is my closest, dearest friend. Like that song Pepper Beard you got, son, and I saw on your show where you helping middle-aged women find dudes. What is happening? What is happening now?
Get on out of here now.
Steve Harvey, come on, man. You know,
I guess the crying is over, huh?
Listen, well, the crying, I would like to cry on somebody's shoulder. I would like to cry on somebody's shoulder.
Sure.
Ask me a question, Steve. What's the question?
Julie Chen made a statement when she was leaving that she thought a good replacement would be for her was for Carrie Annaba.
Carrie Annaba.
I had her on my show yesterday on my Straight Talk panel for women. And I asked her about it.
What'd she say?
She was really moved. She said, wow, just for her to even mention her Asian sister, it speaks volumes to the quality of person she is.
That's right.
Because it's not that we have to look out for one another.
Right.
But for her to look out and point directly, and I know I'm an Asian woman, and I know she is, and for her to think that the ideal replacement would be another was just to say, hey, we are all valuable. And she said, of course I would be honored if they asked me.
Right.
She said, you know, but it was more of what she did that was more moving for me.
Absolutely. A class act, a true boss in this business. And listen, just because I'm pro me and my people don't mean I'm anti somebody else. So if you qualified to get the job, but we got to open the door. People of color have got to open the door for each other. What is wrong with her
saying that?
Right. You see, they don't have to open the door for each other because they own the door, the building, and everything that go around it. We have to open the door for each other. Yeah. So I was proud of her. I was proud the way she said it. I was proud that people could see that she had feelings. I was proud to see that this was a bittersweet moment where she has to go on and live her life in this town. When station in life and how people feel about you and relationships and connections are your cachet.
But you know what, though? She's done nothing.
That's right.
She's done nothing.
That's right.
She is standing by her husband.
Absolutely.
Who is a absolute brilliant businessman.
Right.
I know nothing about nothing else.
That's
and
right.
I haven't really been following the story.
That's right.
And so, like, you know, once again, before I say this, the side of him I know.
That's right.
If
that's
something
right.
has happened, I don't know it. It's got to be dealt with.
That's
okay,
right.
Cool.
This how I look at it, Steve.
This dude was a first. I had never been to a Super Bowl. Les Moonves invited me to the Super Bowl in Miami. This was in 90 something. I'm sitting up there just in awe.
Right.
You know, and then just I saw him at the fight. We talked that morning. So, you know.
Thank you so much, Cheryl.
Hey, Cheryl.
Okay. Bye, Thomas.
Stay strong, baby. We with you all the way.
Hey, I'm already strong and prayed up, and I'll be sitting at that table as long as they turn the lights on me.
Coming up at the top of the hour, it's Carla's Reality Update right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Tommy, you know what to do.
Yep, it's that time. She is here, Carla Farrell with Carla's Reality Update.
All right, thank you, nephew. Let's talk about Basketball Wives, the reunion show.
Really?
We're going to talk about that. Really? So Jennifer Williams, she was not there.
No.
She has been, you know what, Shirley, she has been at the center of a lot of drama this season, starting with, you know, getting into it with Shawnee. Mm-hmm. Apparently, Jennifer, she says she didn't feel safe enough to attend the reunion show. So Jennifer, she, I don't know, she didn't get a chance to say her side of what happened this season. And
how about I started the mess? How about that?
How about being the instigator?
Yeah.
Her biggest regret, I think, was exposing that rumor that Evelyn Lozada allegedly slept with Shawnee's ex, Shaq.
Mm-hmm.
That, remember when all that went down? That was ugly.
Yeah,
that was very ugly.
I had nothing to do with it.
What?
I didn't know what I did. I didn't do anything like that.
Come on, Shaq.
I promise you I didn't do it. I talked to Shawnee. I looked Shawnee dead in the face. I said, Shawnee, I didn't do it. I don't know what Evelyn's talking about. You know, I'm done with it. Y'all need to holler at Kobe.
All right, thank you, Shaq. Jennifer, she also denied that she told Shawnee that Evelyn was a bad mother to her daughter, Shanice. Did you see that when they went on that trip to Amsterdam? And Evelyn jumped up because, you know, you can't be talking about folks, you know, being a parent, parenting and all that. So that was ugly. That was ugly. And things went back and forth. Now, Jennifer wasn't there, and then Tammy apologized. Remember, she made these comments about Evelyn's domestic altercation. You remember that?
Oh,
when
yeah.
Tammy talked about Chad Ochocinco?
So and did.
Yeah. You remember when she mm-hmm. said that she no, went in and she Tammy apologized, though. She said she was out of order for saying that she did not have a right to speak about mm-hmm. what happened between Evelyn and Chad and the whole domestic case. But Evelyn did not want to hear her apology. Mm-mm. Finally, Tammy had enough. She walked off the set
yeah.
during the show.
Yes.
Right
they
there.
Do that a lot.
Yeah, they do. They do. It's dramatic.
Did you know it, Steve?
Dramatic
it was
effect.
Dramatic.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she just yeah. said she had enough. She asked where her flat shoes were. Walked outside the set.
All them shows do yeah. that. Somebody hey, walk hey, off.
Carla, can I just say this?
Yeah, they have flat shoes in a basket on the side.
yeah. I'm not mad at that.
Can
though.
I say how fabulous? You know I love Jackie. Jackie is the crazy one on the
yes,
show, Steve.
Jackie Christie.
yeah. The Christie wife?
Can I, yes.
Man.
She's so crazy. But can
good
I say she
well,
was.
Well, I can't say no.
She was looking fabulous. I just want to say. I loved her.
Yes.
Shoes.
Yeah. Her yeah, booties. She was looking good. Mm. She was looking good. Mm. And I love Malaysia.
I love her, too.
I love Malaysia. Tammy posted on the gram, you know, everybody was like, well, what's going on? She walked off the show. Shawnee didn't know what was happening. And, you know, she is technically the boss.
Yeah.
She is one of the executive producers on the show. And she posted on the gram, it's been a wild ride, but she was just ready for something else. Now, some people are speculating, too, because, you know, Tammy has lost a lot of weight. She talked about having diabetes, and so people are saying maybe she's just trying to focus on her health and mm-hmm. she didn't want to deal with the drama anymore. Uh-huh. So you don't really know if she is coming back to the show. So hit me
back.
Up at Lips by Carla. Who do you think should leave basketball-wise?
I thought her weight loss looked healthy.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, some people are just saying she didn't want to be involved.
She came
with the
on my show.
Anymore.
I didn't even know who she was for a minute.
Oh, because
well,
she had
lost
so
much
weight.
Yeah, her face was very different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, she's thin. But, you know, that's what people are saying, Steve. Maybe she just want to focus on other things mm-hmm. and not
I
be
just
on the
don't
show
need
anymore.
That drama in my life.
I know. It's too much, isn't it?
You need peace, man.
You're on TV fighting every Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uncle, you know, men can't have no show like that.
Mm-mm. Right.
Go live your life.
Yeah.
Yep.
Gotta have some peace. Mm-hmm. So, back to Basketball Wives real quick. This is my social media question. Who do you think should lead the show? Some folks feel that Shawnee should probably go, even though she's executive producer. She's the boss. So I don't think she's going to go. She's not going to fire herself. But Evelyn, Tammy, Jennifer, who do you think? The new girls, hit me up at Lips by Carla. And finally, Shirley,
take
you
Evelyn
talked about
off.
This.
I'll never watch it.
What?
I didn't say it. I'm sorry.
Evelyn is
fine.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
I can't believe I said that. I don't even watch basketball wise.
But if she ain't on it.
She was so upset with Tammy because, Carla, remember she mentioned that she was mad that Tammy said that about Evelyn and Ochocinco because Evelyn said she has a permanent scar on her forehead now because behind you know the fight between her and Chad.
How you
back
do that
in the day?
Tammy kind of, I just don't see that, man.
I don't understand a man. I just really don't, man. I don't care how hot it get. Your job is as a man is to walk away. Now, look, man, you can defend yourself by blocking and all like that. I'm okay. But, dog, your job as a man is to walk away. Now, I'm sorry that times have changed and all this here, and ain't nobody teaching young dudes this no more.
That's true.
But, dog, if a woman hits you, man, walk away. How bad can it be? She hit you. If you got enough to punch back, you got enough to walk away.
Yeah.
Take it.
Yeah.
Period, man. Hitting a woman, man, is of no value.
And Steve, you're absolutely right. But as parents now, parents of daughters, I always tell my daughter too, because of what you said, everyone wasn't raised the same. Do not put your hands on a man. Do not do it.
These dudes ain't raised.
Our parents told
right
us that.
Way.
Our mothers told us that. Don't ever put your hands on a man.
Mm-mm. Don't do it.
But now let me tell you this though. If my daughter do put her hand on you, I done told them all not to. And so far, I think so good.
Mm-hmm.
I think so far so good. Mm-hmm. But if she do slap you,
take it.
You can't slap her back.
No.
Better get to walking.
Nah.
Yeah.
Just go. You come over here and tell me, hey man, hey, I almost tripped your daughter slapped. Well, let me call her.
Yeah.
That's easy.
Yeah. All right. All right, Carla, thank you. Thank you so much. That was good. All right, coming up next, a teen returns a purse with $10,000 inside.
A teenager?
Yeah, teenager.
Why? I would never do that.
We'll talk about it.
Well, I've talked about it.
At 20 minutes after the hour, when we come back, all right? Right after
I'm
this.
I'm up 10.
Okay.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
So, Steve, guys, listen to this, Tommy Jr. Uh-huh. A California teenager found a purse with $10,000 inside, okay, and decided to be a good Samaritan and return it. His name is Rami Z. He was driving home from school when he noticed a black bag in the middle of the road.
He was driving?
Yeah. He was
this
driving.
This ain't a California black teenager. Is it a California black teenager?
His name is Rami Z.
He ain't black.
He searched the purse to find the owner's info and was shocked to see the money, $10,000. When he couldn't find the owner's number, he and his parents turned the bag into the Santa Barbara County Sheriff's Office.
Sheriff?
Yeah.
What? This phone's about sheriff.
The sheriff?
Yep.
The law?
Yes.
Why would I drag the law into this?
Rami Z is 16 years old, Steve.
Why would I tell my mom and dad about it? What is I doing? What is they doing knowing?
Okay.
I was 16, if I'd have found $10,000, it would have been a brand new Maverick in the driveway.
Because
you could get a brand new Maverick back then for about $6,800.
What?
Yeah. I'd have had a brand new Maverick.
Wow, back
in the
day.
I'd have left blue with the black vinyl top.
$10,000. Man.
Yeah, he's 16 years old. He says, now listen to what he says. You may agree or not, but he says, to me, I figured this is the right thing to do.
Mm. Well, you figured wrong.
Well, listen, this is what else he said, Steve.
If
the roles were reversed and I had lost something with a significant sum of money inside, I know I would want it back for sure.
Well, you still be wanting it.
You have to do better. Keep up with your
thing.
You finna learn your ass a $10,000 lesson.
Yeah.
Is what you finna do.
See, people don't understand when they got a blessing standing right in the face.
Well, okay. Eventually, the police officer.
Paula?
He did the right thing.
Yeah, according to who?
I think he did the right thing.
It wasn't his money or his dad.
When you find something, it's yours.
That's right.
Oh. Not necessarily.
Okay, well, listen. They found the owner. The police found the owner. The sheriff found the owner.
I'd been so mad they
could
pull. I'd have got you that purse back, but not, the stuff
in
it.
Oh, you could have had the purse and the ID.
The owner was
no
grateful. Let me show you how grateful the owner was. The owner gave Rami $100.
See right there.
I had 10.
I'd have had a whole new Gucci wardrobe.
You been Gucci
in the
now?
Middle of the school year. When I walked back in them halls.
I'd have bought the house across the street from my mom.
Yeah.
You would have left your parents.
The owner believes she left her purse. You know how sometimes when you're getting in your car, your hands are full, you might have something in your hand and you put it on your roof of the car.
Right. Yeah.
And you forget. You get in the car and you drive away. Yeah.
You know how many girls I'd have been treating down at Dippy's Wing Shop?
Down where?
$10,000.
I love Dippy's.
Dippy's Wing Shop. If I find $10,000, I'm going to be the most popular ugly ass dude at the school.
Man.
I might be ugly, but I got 10 grand. Anybody hungry want to go to Dippy's?
Man.
So you guys would not have given the money back.
Matter of fact, Shirley, this wouldn't even be a story because wouldn't nobody know. If I'd have took that money in there to my daddy and told my daddy I found $10,000, he said, come on in the back room.
All right, Steve.
That's the first thing.
We'll be back right after this with more of the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
I'm going to college with just $10,000.
Man.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, so the New York Times mixed up Angela Bassett and Omarosa, okay? Angela Bassett and Omarosa. They don't look anything alike, okay? They're both black women, and they're both ones in politics and ones in entertainment, okay? That's about where their similarities stop. And start and stop, I should say. However, the New York Times mixed them up in their Emmy coverage. There's a photo of them which featured Angela Bassett with Tiffany Haddish and a brand new Emmy winner Rachel Brosnahan. Brosnahan, I should say.
And they thought that was Amorose?
Yeah. They appeared in the early edition of the art section. It should be noted that Getty Images made the mistake first, but the fact that no one at the Times caught it, it was just shocking, okay? Once they did catch it, they tweeted out an apology and promised to issue a correction. And you know, Steve, how the corrections are. They're usually...
It's going to be a small blurb in the paper up under the classifieds of a dump trunk that's for sale.
Exactly, right? The correction is never bigger than the mistake or the same size. Naturally, you know, everyone on Twitter, they just went in on the Times. One Twitter user said, do all dark-skinned black women look the same to your editors? Well, Angela Bassett, ever classy, and she's always classy and so eloquent and elegant, she tweeted off a picture of Kerry Washington as Olivia Pope with the caption, "It's handled." And she accepted the Times apology. So there you go.
I don't know how she couldn't tell the difference. One had a tape recorder and one didn't. We already know.
Did Amorosa say anything?
I haven't seen anything.
I haven't seen anything just yet from her.
She's probably happy if they made that mistake, if her name was mentioned. Yeah, she could probably sell a few more books or something.
Mm. Yeah, she don't have nothing to be mad at right there.
And may I say that Angela Bassett looked beautiful Emmy night.
Yes, she did. She was stunning.
She
beautiful. Yeah, and they were saying she's 60 years old. I find that so hard to believe.
That.
Yeah, she looks fantastic. Mm-hmm. She looks fantastic. Yeah.
Yep.
And they said something, Steve, this would be of interest to you, that when she cut out dairy, that's when she started getting more muscle definition.
She's toned.
Angela Bassett. Yeah, she's very, very toned. Remember how great she looked when she played Tina Turner?
What?
Her arms. Yeah, so she. I read somewhere that they said she cut out dairy.
My problem is I had so much in me.
Much ice cream, so much cheese.
Yeah, it's going to take way longer than 21 days to get out of my system.
You got to pipe all this out.
So,
Man, I got some stuff in me, man. Yeah.
But Angela Bassett looks fantastic.
I'm just a big-ass trash coat.
Big ups to Angela Bassett.
Yes, we love you. Man. Love you, definitely. And other entertainment news from the Real Housewives of Atlanta, Portia Williams has announced that she is pregnant. Congratulations to her.
All right, Portia, go ahead.
She is. And her baby daddy is her new man, entrepreneur Dennis McKinley. So we say congratulations to you guys.
All right,
Portia. Mm-hmm. Mommy-to-be. Mm.
Yeah.
She wanted to have children. So
yeah, she's always talked about the fact that she wanted to have children. Yeah.
You ain't going to want them after you get them.
I got my tube tied. I am not.
You can't go through it no more.
What?
Oh.
That is it.
All right, hang on. We're coming up the last break of the day and some closing remarks from Steve Harvey. That's coming up at 49 after, right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Hey, it's your girl, Carla Farrell, and the future of at-home hair color is here with Madison Reed. Listen to me, ladies. Gorgeous, salon-quality hair color delivered to your door for less than $25. I am loving my hair color. I'm feeling confident, rocking my highlights, and let me tell you, Madison Reed is reinventing hair color with the quality of salon color, the convenience and affordability of at-home hair color, and it's healthy, too, an ammonia-free formula made with ingredients you can feel good about. I know because I just used Madison Reed hair color. Y'all know how much I love to rock hair color, and I want to cover my stubborn gray. Got it all done. Madison Reed has it all. Red, blonde, brown, dark brown, toffee, you name it. Join hundreds and thousands of busy women like me, like yours truly, who have tried and love Madison Reed hair color. Find your perfect shade at madison-reed.com. Madison Reed would like to honor our Steve Harvey Morning Show listeners with 10% off plus free shipping on their first color kit with the promo Carla. That's code Carla.
All right, Steve, right before we get to your closing remarks for today, we still want to remind everyone to please still keep giving to our friends and neighbors in the Carolinas affected by Florence. Please donate whatever you can to the Red Cross by texting the word Florence to 90999. We have to mention that President Trump went out there to the Carolinas, and he gave a speech. He was giving out food to the people, talking to them, asking them how they were, how's the house? Because, you know, he had gotten so heavily criticized for throwing the paper towels when he went down to Puerto Rico and just not being there. You know, the people didn't feel like
had a hurricane. Here goes some paper towels. They bounded like to
clean the mess up.
He's shooting
we'll go out here and get up all this flood water with these paper towels.
Right. So he took a different approach this time around. Yeah. He went and actually...
somebody showed him the film.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. This is you.
It may have been Melania.
This is you talking to some people who no longer have anywhere to live.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So good for him. Yeah. Yeah. All right, Steve. We're ready for the closing remarks.
This is... for everybody, including myself, this is for anyone who aspires to get more or to have more, to be blessed more, to acquire more, however you want to look at it. Here's the deal. All of our lives, we live our lives in bubbles, so to speak. This is just an analogy, everybody. We all live our lives in the bubbles. And what I mean by a bubble is not a negative thing. It's that I'm saying this is the space that we operate in. This is the gym we go to. This is the Starbucks that we like. This is the church that we like to go to. These are some of our favorite restaurants we like to frequent. This is where we go with relations of our relatives and all of this. These is our clubs we go to for drinks and stuff like that. This is the school we attend. This is where we got a gym membership. This is where we socialize and live. That's what I mean by bubble. Now, here's the deal. If you want more than what's in your bubble, then what you have to do is put more air in your bubble. It don't bust, it expands, but you got to breathe more air into it. How do you breathe more air into your bubble, Steve? You gotta start dreaming bigger. You gotta start wanting bigger. You gotta start keeping hope alive. You gotta hope for more. Now you gotta be willing to put the work behind it, but in order to expand your bubble, you got to breathe some air into the bubble. You got to put something in it where it's not the same old church, the same old Starbucks, the same old restaurant, the same old club, the same old gym. You've got to breathe some air into that bubble. Expand your bubble. I'm talking to myself. As good as a bubble as I have, I would like to be able to do some other things, believe it or not. There's limitations to what I can do. You may be looking at me talking about, wow, man, what you got limitations on? You balling. Yeah, I ain't talking about that. There are still things I want in life. There's more to this. So if I want more, including myself, I got to breathe more air into the bubble. The bubble is yours to control. That's the beauty of it. You have a say-so in what size bubble you got. You ain't got to keep going to the same Starbucks. You can try the one somewhere else. You can expand your bubble. You ain't just got to go to that gym and hear that mess, that trainer talking. You can go to another gym. You tired of that pastor up there? He ain't talking about nothing. You ain't growing. He ain't feeding you spiritually. Blow some air in your bubble. Go to another church. You know when you're hearing the same thing when it ain't working for you? You ain't got to go to the same happy hour. You ain't met nobody over there since you've been going. But since it's the happy hour closest to the house and it's convenient, you keep going. You ain't met nobody. You ain't networked. You ain't passed out a business card. You ain't did nothing. You need some more air in your bubble. And the only person that can add more air in your bubble is you. You have got to change your attitude. You've got to put more air in your bubble. You got to dream bigger. Stop wanting just what's in your paycheck, because that's inside the bubble already. You already got what you can afford. It's already in your bubble. You need a bigger bubble. The only person can breathe air into your bubble is you. You blowing this bubble. It's like if you got bubble gum. Remember when you was a kid and you used to buy bazooka bubble gum and y'all be sitting around trying to blow bubbles who had the biggest bubble? Well, guess what? Nobody can affect your bubble but you. You the dude. You got to put more air in your bubble. If you want more, you got to believe more. If you want more, you got to imagine more. If you want more, you got to see more for yourself. Now, after you get through seeing and wanting and believing and tripping and hoping, you got to go to work. You got to go to work. But guess what? Your bubble will expand. And when your bubble expands, your existence will expand. It will expand. Your whole being will expand. Next thing you know, guess what? You're going to want some more air in your bubble.
For all Steve Harvey contests, no purchase necessary, void where prohibited. Participants must be legal U.S. residents at least 18 years old unless otherwise stated. For complete contest rules, visit SteveHarveyFM.com.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.